bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Now we're back at Fenway Park. Tonight, the Orioles are trying to get back in the win column, take on the Red Sox in Game 2 of a quickie two-game series. Last night, Dylan Bundy was real good enough to win that game last night. But offensively in that game, the Orioles were just about non-existent. And defensively, let's just say the Orioles played a very uncharacteristic game. As a result, a 2-1 game in the seventh inning turned into a Boston Tea Party, if you will. Red Sox won that thing 8-1. The skipper, Buck Showalter, right after this. Well, Dylan Bundy did his job against the Red Sox at Fenway last night. Bundy was able to pitch into the seventh inning, and at the time he left the game, well, the Red Sox lead was only 2-1. So, Buck Showalter, about Bundy in that game last night. Huh?
He's pretty effective. I mean, he wasn't carrying, you know, normal stuff and commanding. He's working on extra day's rest, which, you know, we're going to try to do as much as we can with all our guys, but especially Dylan. No, he gave us a good chance to win. We squandered some really good run scoring opportunities, man, on third and less than 2 outs. You got to push and cross with a good club like they got. And, you know, Pomerantz was very effective in his first start.
Yeah, offensively non-existent. In fact, so far this year, after 6 games, the Orioles have scored just 22 runs. Along with Kansas City, the fewest runs scored so far in baseball. How about the Orioles defensively in the game last night? Well, Buck was happy with the way Trey Mancini handled the Green Monster in left field.
He handled himself well. You know, Trey's not one of those guys looking for an excuse to fail. He's going to let it rip, and only one way to find out, and I thought he presented himself well.
And guess what? Mancini is out in left field again tonight for the second game against the Red Sox. Now, the rest of the defense, not so good. J.J. at short, booted a would-be double play ball. Second baseman Jonathan Scope whiffed on a pop-up. And then there was this play, too.
And the pitch is lined into right field. That's a base hit. Over the plate is Gentry. Vasquez is being sent. The throw comes in the middle of the field. No one there to cut it off. And heading to second base, Benintendi, he is safe. Craig Gentry threw it to no one. He had no chance to get Pedroia at third and threw it towards the middle of the diamond, and there was no one there.
Yep.
And the ball just rolled.
It did. Just one example of what happened at Fenway Park last night. So, Buck Showalter, about that defense in that game.
Yeah, it wasn't a very crisp game for us defensively, to say the least. And, you know, it doesn't always show up in errors. You know, it's something I know our guys are disappointed in.
Yeah, that's understandable. Of course, very tough to win a ball game when you score just one run. Mentioned 22 runs in 6 games. So offensively right now, the Orioles have yet to gel. Buck, what about that? Huh?
It's early in the season. Everybody's trying to find their step a little bit. We've done some good things. And, I'll choose to tip my hat to their pitching, but publicly, but privately, we'll grind and figure out a way to, now we got a knuckleballer. That's part of being in the big leagues. Every day is a different challenge, a different look, a different presentation, and it's a constant game of adjustments.
Yep, and tonight, a big adjustment with the knuckleballer, Steve Wright, on the hill for the Boston Red Sox. All right, back at Fenway Park. Well, tonight, game 2 against the Red Sox. And for Boston, a knuckleballer, a right-hander. His name is Steven Wright. He will do the pitching. Buck Showalter, about those knuckleball pitchers.
Huh? The inconsistency of the break, you know. It's nothing that, you know a slider is going to go east and west and a little bit north and south. And you know the fastball is going to have some certain consistencies to it, but a knuckleball doesn't. So it's like, how do you go prepare for it? You know, you could bring a great knuckleballer in here, but his knuckleball may not break as the same as that one. So it's kind of like left-handed batting practice pitchers. That's great, but, you know, is anybody going to simulate David Price or Pomerantz or whoever?
Whoever, yeah. It's very difficult. I'll tell you what, though. A lot of people can throw a knuckleball. The thing is to throw a good knuckleball, and if it's possible, to command a good knuckleball. Buck, how do you spot the good knuckleball pitchers? Huh?
Most good knuckleballers follow a similar path of right. They have good command of the fastball. They're very athletic. They have to be quick to the plate. They have to feel the position. You know, if you see a lot of weak pop-ups and a lot of top ground balls, you know he's got a good one that night. That's usually how you can tell. If for some reason, the good ones have a lot of weak contact with pop-ups.
Well, Steven Wright's a good one. Last year, he won 13 games in the regular season and made the All-Star team. So it should be interesting. Well, Trey Mancini last night was introduced to the Green Monster in left field. And he did a pretty darn good job, too. So Mancini and Jim Hunter with a warm-up show when we continue right after this.
At Fenway Park in Boston, in what has turned out to be a lovely evening for baseball, the Orioles looking for a win to salvage one game in this two-game series against Boston and snap their now two-game losing streak. This is the Great Clips pregame show. Next time, save time with a new online check-in app from Great Clips. No more waiting around, because now we'll be waiting for you. Download our free app today, Great Clips. It's going to be great. We'll chat with outfielder Trey Mancini after this on the Orioles Radio Network. Orioles and Red Sox close out the brief two-game series tonight here at Fenway Park, and visiting with Trey Mancini. Are you now Mr. Versatility? You seem to be all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that. I've had an unexpected start in left field last night, and I thought it went well. I was really comfortable out there, and it was a great experience. It was really fun.
All right, so you're getting used to playing right field. It looked as if you had that down. Then all of a sudden you show up last night and they say, oh, by the way, other angle.
Yeah, it's, I just tried to treat it the same. It's just kind of a similar position, just on the opposite side of the field. And in my prior outfield experience, I had played left before. So I played out there before and was familiar with it. So it didn't totally throw me for a loop or anything.
All right, so you've played left field, but this is left field at Fenway Park. You have the monster. You have all the little nuances out there. Were you intimidated at all when that first one hit the wall?
Not too much. I had a lot of preparation in BP. I saw the way the ball was coming off of the monster out there and kind of adjusted accordingly, so I knew what to do in the game. I knew that I'd have time to back up and kind of judge if I could catch a fly ball or not, and if I couldn't, I'd back way off and wait for it to bounce to me. So I felt like I got that down pretty well in BP, and I didn't panic in the game when it happened, and felt like I did a pretty good job with it.
You know, it's to your credit that you're willing to do whatever to stay here in the big leagues, but also contribute on the field. As you look back to the offseason, you saw Mark Trumbo resign. Of course, Chris is this only year two of the seven-year deal. Did you think you might have to do that, switch around and move around?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I wasn't positive, but I knew it would be a better thing than not to switch around and add some versatility to my game. So, I started working in the outfield and knew that was probably my best shot to make the team.
What is the biggest difference outfield versus first base? First base is such a reactionary position. I mean, the ball gets on you. If it hits you right away, you're responsible for fielding throws in the dirt. What is the biggest difference that you've learned in your brief time out there?
Yeah, I'd say it's more or less that you just have a lot more time in the outfield to kind of react. But at the same time, you know, line drives are tough. And I mean, it's a completely different position out there. You're mostly dealing with fly balls. And you got to really pay attention to the wind out there. That's a big difference. At first base, unless it's a really high pop-up, the wind won't affect it too much, because most of what you're playing are ground balls and line drives at you and whatnot. But the outfield, you've got to be aware of the elements. And the wind can change direction during the game. Especially in these stadiums. So it's little things like that you need to pay attention to.
Well, the other thing, too, it's the throws. I mean, right field versus left field, it's different. Cutoff man. I mean, there's more that goes on that I think we realize when we just watch you play.
Yeah, there are. But the great thing about especially this team is with such a great infield group that we have is they're always going to be there for you to be your cutoff men. So there's not too much thinking that goes into that. You know, somebody's going to be there to assist you when you're out there and need to make a throw in.
All right, tonight your first start against a right-handed pitcher. And, by the way, Trey, there's a knuckleballer going tonight, so go out there and get him.
All right, yeah, I'll try my best. Thanks.
What about a knuckleballer? What do you look for?
You kind of look for the ball up to start up in the zone whenever he releases it. If it starts kind of mid-height to down, it'll probably stay down and break below the zone. So you need to look for a ball up. And, you know, they're tough. You just kind of have to wait for one pitch to kind of break to the middle of the plate. And I faced a couple. Eddie Gamboa I faced last year, who used to be with the Orioles. He pitched for Durham last year in AAA, so I faced him a couple times. So I have a little bit of experience. And in low A or high A, I faced another one. So I don't have a lot of experience with knuckleballers, but enough to kind of know what my plan would be going up there.
What he likes to do is sneak, and I hesitate to call it a fastball. It's more of a non-knuckleball straight pitch. But he has a lot of success by doing that. But can you allow yourself to look for that, knowing the majority of the pitches are knucklers?
Yeah, that's a tough adjustment if you're thinking slow to adjust to a faster pitch. I think you, especially with the overwhelming majority, I look earlier at his breakdown, the overwhelming majority is knuckleball, so you pretty much have to be prepared for that. But if you're in a really favorable count, 3-0, 3-1, and he tries to throw one of the fastballs in there, you got to be ready to hit it.
Does your style work in your favor against a guy like that? Because you use the entire field. You're a very unstubborn hitter. I mean, your double last night, any other ballpark, that's a home run. You think that might help?
Yeah, I think so. You know, with knuckleball pitchers, you never really know where it's going to end up over the plate. So if it's outside, you try to go that way with it. You don't try to change that approach when you're at the plate. So hopefully that can happen for me tonight.
All right, now it's only a two-game losing streak, but things were starting off so well, 4-0. This is where the resiliency of a team has to come to play, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is a big game tonight, and you know, this team will definitely come out and bounce back and play really hard tonight. And you know, it's a long season, so you try not to get too caught up in win streaks and losing streaks. But every game counts. When you look up and it's October, you don't want to ever look back at a certain stretch and say what could you have done differently. So, you know, I know we'll be out ready to play tonight.
Well, Trey Mancini is adjusting very, very nicely to outfield plays, been working very hard with Wayne Kirby on the nuances. And Buck Showalter before the game today pointed out two plays last night. One was on a sac fly by Pablo Sandoval in the second inning. Mancini had to go to left center field, and the ball that Sandoval hit actually was in the light stanchion behind the first base bag. And the lights prevented Mancini from seeing the ball the entire way, but he stuck with it. He made the catch, and then he fired a ball to the plate. Now, the other play was on a ball to the gap where he went off the Green Monster and was able to fire it back in and keep a runner from scoring all the way from first base on a double. That was Chris Young, who has very good speed, but he played the carom perfectly and was able to get it back in. So Buck Showalter says if you didn't know Mancini's in the outfield to get his bat in the lineup and you were a scout, you would come in and say, you know what? That young man has an above-average arm, and that certainly is a plus for Mancini going forward. And from Fenway Park, stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
Hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel and Jim Hunter back at Fenway Park in Boston. In the win column tonight, Orioles ending a little two-game mini losing skid as they beat the Boston Red Sox by a score of 12-5. It was Steven Wright against Ubaldo Jimenez when the game started. And because the Red Sox are the home team, it meant that Steven Wright had to pitch first. And it wasn't real pretty because right away, first pitch of the game, Seth Smith was hit by a pitch. And then he wound up at second base on a wild pitch. So he was out there at second base for Manny Machado. Here comes the 2-1 pitch. Fly ball right center. Head ball heading for the gap. So is Benintendi. He's not going to get to it. It takes a big bounce and winds up in the bullpen out there in the triangle area, but it'll drive it a run. Smith comes in from second base. Manny Machado, the automatic double, and it's a 1-0 Oriole lead. And now Machado does have a hit against Steven Wright. Yeah, there he goes. So Machado getting it done early. Davis then grounded out, but then Trumbo came up to hit. So now Trumbo trying to get this done with two outs. And the pitch. Trumbo loops it out toward right center. Coming on Mookie Betts. He short hopped it. Came up with it, gets it back into second base. That's a base hit. Machado comes in to score. Trumbo does get it done with two outs. It's a 2-0 Baltimore lead. Yeah, but they weren't done yet. After that, a single by Castillo. And all of a sudden, there were two aboard for Trey Mancini. Here's the pitch. Mancini, fly ball, right field. Pretty deep. Backing up, Mookie Betts. Backing up. Forget about it. Pipe it bye-bye. Trey Mancini with a 3-run blast into the bullpen in right center, and it's a 5-0 Oriole lead against a knuckleballer in the first inning. That was amazing. And then on the very next pitch, and now Scope drills it to deep left field. Wave that baby bye-bye right now. He hits a mammoth home run into the monster seats on the first pitch that he sees. Back-to-back. Wave it bye-byes. 6-0 Orioles. There you go. 6 runs on 6 hits. But then they weren't done yet. Second inning, Adam Jones came up as the leadoff hitter. Steven Wright had a real tough first inning. 27 pitches. Gave up 6 runs on 6 hits. A couple of home runs. Another one. Way back and left. Down the line. If it's fair. Wave it bye-bye. Completely out of Fenway Park. He got every inch of that thing. And the Orioles now in the second inning. Or by the second inning, they've homered three times. And they got a 7-0 lead. Goodness indeed. But they weren't done yet. Just moments later, and now Davis launches one back in the right field corner. This one's got a chance. The big fella. Pipe that baby bye-bye. My goodness. That knuckleball is getting knuckled tonight. Indeed. Davis, his second home run. But they weren't done yet. In the third, there's that man Mancini again.
Taylor set at the belt. Pitch to Mancini, swinging a high fly ball. Deep left field, back it goes, and that ball is gone. Mancini has a two home run night. And there's the Orioles' fifth home run of the night. And a 9-0 lead for the Birds.
Well, there you go. The man, Mancini, getting it done. A couple of home runs. Ubaldo Jimenez had a 9-0 lead, and he could not qualify to get the victory. He struggled again, going just 4 1/3, gave up five earned runs, 8 hits, including home run off the bat of Pablo Sandoval. And eventually, after Ubaldo had to leave the game in the fifth inning, the Red Sox were trying to get back in the ballgame. In fact, they were back in the ballgame until Michael Givens came out of the bullpen. And although he gave up a single to Bogart to pick up an RBI, he then struck out Sandoval, and then he went to work on Chris Young. And now Givens again is ready. Infield backed up with two outs. And the right-hander, he delivers. Fly ball, center field. Adam Jones got room, backing up under it to make the catch. And the inning is over. Finally. Time to exhale. Yeah, the Orioles then scored three more in the top of the seventh inning as Castillo doubled home a couple of runs. And then Jonathan Scope singled home another run. It gave the Orioles their final margin of victory. They win the finale, a two-game series at Fenway, and now it is on to Toronto. Now, Jim Hunter, he's got more details. He's got Buck Showalter when we continue with the postgame show right after this.
Jim Hunter back at Fenway Park. Orioles pound the Red Sox, winning it 12-5. They snap the five-game losing streak against Boston, also snap their two-game losing streak, and they gain a series split, brief two-game series. Each team won a game, so the Orioles now 5-2 and maintaining first place in the AL East. Let's hear from the skipper now and head downstairs. Post-game comments, Gary Thorne is with Buck Showalter.
Okay, what an explosion for the offense to start the ball game.
Yeah, it was, you can tell that Wright wasn't carrying a very good knuckleball. A little disappointing for Ubaldo because, you know, pitching with a lead like that, he was sharp early on and just left him there.
Just couldn't command pitches? Is that what happened?
Yeah, the delivery got a little out of whack and couldn't right himself. He tried to make some adjustments, but that's frustrating because it created some anxiety in a game. Of course, anytime you're in this ballpark, all the things that can happen. But I thought the tack-on run with Wellington kind of got the momentum back, and Michael Givens was probably the key of the game. He came in and kind of righted the ship.
Wellington's really having a great start for you, both at the plate and behind it, isn't he?
Yeah, he's. I think a lot of people miss what a good hitter he's become. You look at some career highs last year, he's kind of figured out who he is, and he's a strong young man with, hit fifth in a lineup. He was a guy that protected the big first baseman out there for a couple of years.
Trey Mancini, it's early, but wow.
Yeah, he's was a big contributor tonight, and happy for him. We're doing the math. You drive in four and let in one, we'll take that.
And the rebound, after last night, Buck, the club comes back and just ready to go.
I got to tell you, Gary, I think our guys were a little frustrated about last night. That's not us. And you could tell, walk around the locker room today, they were ready for the game to get started because, they want to get back to playing the type of baseball that we know we're capable of.
Skip, thanks.
Okay, you flying with Toronto?
I'm flying to Toronto, fella.
Nothing like getting in at 3:30 in the morning.
You're going to love it. Going through customs, you got that old passport ready to go?
Hey, we're actually getting paid for this, too. You believe it?
Don't tell anybody that.
Gary Thorne and Buck Showalter anticipating the arrival for customs in Toronto, Canada, which, by the way, is a beautiful city.